Blog Talk Radio. Lion, historically seen as a symbol of strength, power, and authority. And with the mighty roar, it is identified as the king. And the lamb is seen as a symbol of peace and purity. And with its pure white wool, it was used as sacrifice for the atonement for sins. You see, these two images juxtaposed should have nothing in common. One being ferocious and the other one being pure, merciful, and innocent. You see, there was only one God who had the ability to take these images upon himself as the man Jesus Christ. You see, only he was pure enough to sacrifice himself on a cross for my sins. And only he had the strength, power, and authority to march the gates of hell in my behalf. So I ask you, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. For we serve the one and only Lion and the Lamb.
You can walk that same old road for miles and miles. You can hear that same old voice, jump same old fire. You can try to feel the same old holes inside. Well, there's
1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praises to him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, is anybody thankful for a God that's willing to reach out into the filth and darkness of our sins and pull us into a presence that washes as white as snow? Is there anybody thankful for a God, even though that we don't deserve it, we reach out into the confusion of our minds and bring us up to his will that guides us and keeps us? Is there anybody thankful for a God that would reach down into the darkness of our sin and bring us out into the glory that shines in us and the glory that shines through us? How is anybody thankful for a God that chose you? Amen. Is anybody thankful that God chose you?
Yeah.
Lion, historically seen as a symbol of strength, power, and authority. And with a mighty roar, it is identified as the king. And the lamb is seen as a symbol of peace and purity. And with its pure white wool, it was used as sacrifice for the atonement for sin. You see, these two images juxtaposed should have nothing in common. One being ferocious and the other one being pure, merciful, and innocent. You see, there is only one God who had the ability to take these images upon himself as the man Jesus Christ. You see, only he was pure enough to sacrifice himself on a cross for my sins. And only he had the strength, power, and authority to march the gates of hell in my behalf. So I ask you, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. For we serve the one and only Lion of the Lamb.
Thank you.
At one point in Jesus' ministry, he told his disciples that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, would soon be sent in his name. And then he later went on to clarify in that same passage that he would not leave them comfortless, but that he himself would come to them. And then he told his disciples right before he ascended into heaven that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them. Hallelujah. You might be here tonight, and you've never felt what you're feeling here in this service before. Can I assure you that what you're feeling here tonight is the only power of the Holy Ghost that is here in this place that we're worshiping and magnifying the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we're not just talking about power in some distant sense that you can only slightly feel. Because I'm going to tell you tonight that the Holy Ghost has the power to deliver the brokenhearted, to heal the depressed, I'm so thankful tonight to be in a place where we can experience the real fire of the life-changing Holy Ghost and power.
Hallelujah, Jesus. No sickness is greater than you, Father. You are the great I am. You are truly the lily of the valley, the early morning star, the land of the tribe of Judah. You are the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come at your table and feast this morning. We don't take it lightly, Father, because it could have been the other way around. We could have been in the mortician office. We could have been in the jailhouse. Oh, Father, they could be making preparation to take us to the graveyard. But, Father, you have given us another day. Another day in the land of the living. And, oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, my soon-coming King, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, you sent the snow last night to clean the atmosphere. And, Father, you allowed me to go out and clean off the truck. And, Lord, I didn't feel any pain at all in my chest. I was breathing normal. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for you are truly Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healeth. Oh, Father, I ask that today that you would touch Apostle Linda Washington as she go for her physical checkup. Let the report that she gets from the doctor be favorable according to your word. And we pray for Apostle Millie. Lord, we ask that you continue to heal her sister, heal her brother-in-law, her daughter, her grandson, and strengthen her as she carried the weight of her family on her shoulders. Lord, we ask that you encourage her in the spirit, Lord, that she know that the weight is not hers to carry, but yours. Oh, Father, we pray for the proper desire. Sure. We pray, Father God, that you continue to keep her, continue to provide for her and for her sons and all the children. Lord, we just pray for her grandchildren right now. We come against every attack of satanic powers, every witch and a warlock and soothsayer, juju worker that would come against her ministry. We stand with her in the spirit, O God, to be triumphant over them. And Father, we pray for our bishop, Bishop James Washington. Lord, we thank you for keeping him in the land of the living. That when the enemy say yes, you said no. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for blessing him with that life that surpasses everything that anyone can talk about, Lord Jesus. You bless him coming and going. Father, you have made him the head and not the tail. You have set him above and not beneath. Father, we pray for Brother Deacon Fraser. We ask you, God, to continue to bless him. Continue to keep him safe as he work in that tire shop. That no hurt, harm, or danger would befall him, that he'll pay attention to what he's doing, working with those tools. We lift up Minister Andre Batmus, and we know that she's praying for her husband to papers to be released so he could come in from Nigeria. Lord, you said it's not good for a man to be alone, but I say it's not good for a woman to be alone, especially when she's married. So we just pray, God, that you keep her safe and secure as the apple of your eye, Lord Jesus, her daughter, who has grown up to be a fine young lady, one of the youngest ministers. We just thank you right now, Lord, for your work that you're doing here in this here Blog Talk Radio ministry. Lord, we are reaching so many thousands and thousands of people. Last time I reckoned that we were over 500,000 people. And I thank God for the numbers are growing, that people are all over the world are tuning in, downloading the message and sharing it with their family and their ministry in Africa and India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Pakistan. We got people in France. We got people in Amsterdam. Got people in Australia, in the Caribbean, in Canada, all through the United States. We just thank God because the Bible said this word would go to the ends of the world. This word, you know, the Lord was speaking to me last night. I just thank God for this word that we're about to release today, the word that the Lord has given me today. I preached this word sometime last year, a year before, and as I was looking for a word last night, I saw this paper that I had written, and the Lord said, that's what I want you to teach on today. And we're going to be teaching on today Make sure you address for the occasion. No excuses are accepted. Let me say that again. Make sure you address for the occasion. No excuses will be accepted. I was laying on the bed last night, and the Lord, when I looked through my books, it dropped out. It was just a paper I wrote or some scriptures on from, you know, computer sheet. And as it dropped out, the Lord said, that's what I want you to teach on. People are taking what I call them to do for granted. He says, I want you to teach on that. And then the Lord began to tell me how many people, and he called it the church of man. And it was amazing how the Lord dropped that in my spirit. He said the church of men. He didn't say his church, because we know that God's church is holy. I'm just talking to you a little bit before I go into this message. God's church is holy. And I know sometimes we kind of generalize, we see the church. God's church is not a building. God's church is a people. I want you to know that. Those of you that know, you know the word, you know the truth, you know that it's not the building. It's not the fancy stadium. It's not the big old mansion building that they build up and say, well, this is my church. That's not God's church. That's man's building. And God let me know that very clearly, that men and women, you know, when you hear the Bible say men, it means men and women. They tend to always emphasize that, my church. In 2010, we were helping one of my spiritual daughters over in Texas. She had a prayer line, and I would go on there with her and help her. But then they had some people come on there, and they would talk out of sync and all that stuff, and then some would even get blasphemed, you know. And I said, the Lord said, I don't want you to be on the line anymore. I still talk to her. But the Lord says, I want you to start a ministry. So when we start this ministry, we started as Breaking the Strongholds. That was the domain that we had, the title for we had, the name we had. But the Lord said, no. They still, the domain is registered with Blog Talk Radio as Breaking the Strongholds. But then the Lord told me one evening, I want you to start. This has to be a church line, not a prayer line, but a church line. You'll also pray from time to time, but a church line. And I didn't know what to name it. The Lord says, Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. I said, wow. And then he gave me an analogy about a train that is moving at high speed. And you have to be at the right place at the right time in order to catch that train. And if you didn't catch that train, be at the spot, you would miss the train, would miss you. And I said, wow, Lord, this is powerful. So we started out at the prayer line, then we moved into the church line. And I always said from 2010 that this was not my line. And I don't say that to get accolades. I say that because this is what the Lord told me in 2010. He said, this is my church. This is my church. And he said, don't care who come against it, they will not be able to stop it. We had prophets, we had prophets, we had apostles, we had bishops, we had sorcerers, warlocks. They all come against it, witches, and they tried to tear this line down. I mean, they tried to tear it down. I said, well, I don't care what you all try to do. Can't stop it, because it's God's line. It's God's ministry. And I know there was time we didn't have no money. I tell the truth, because I'm retired. This year I'll be 73 years old. But when you see me, you will see that I don't look like 73. And we had time that we didn't have no money to pay the bill. But Blog Talk really let the line go on. Because, why? It's not my line. If it was my line, they would have shut it off. The only time the lines ever went down is when the satellite was in the right position. And they had a problem at the station back in Jersey. And that's the only time, but not because of finances. Because finance or no finances, God keep it up. God keep it up. But we want to talk to you this morning about make sure that you are dressed for the occasion. No excuses are acceptable. No excuses. No, we always have an excuse. You know what? When I got this message last year or year before, I had invite some people to come and minister the word of God. That way, since everybody don't minister on Blog Talk really. And if they come and they're not right, they don't minister back here again. Go, it's God's line. God tell me when to call you, when not to call you. When I call you, it's not me calling you, it's God calling you. I don't just say, come on, because you can preach well or you can sing well or you can, you know all the scriptures. I call you when the Lord says so. When the Lord says so, I know what come out of your belly is going to be so full of fire that the people going to hear it, they're going to receive it. They may not tell you hallelujah or praise the Lord, but I tell you they're going to receive it because the Lord said, that's your time. I had some people come on, and they want to think they can run blog talk really. You don't see them preaching here anymore. You don't see them preaching here anymore because this is not mine. This is God's line. This is God ministry. No, 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 no. A lot of people like to go to places and they want to dress how they want to. But this place I'm talking about is heaven. People think they can do all the things and that they got the fancy church buildings and they're wearing the tuxedos and they're wearing the sharp skin suits and the Gucci and all the stuff, Calvin Klein and you know, Jones of New York, you know, all the suits, Stacey Adams and all the crocodile alligator shoes, all this stuff. They're wearing all the stuff that's in time and Gucci and stuff, you know, Versace and all this stuff. All the stuff that looks good to man. And the main thing that God wants us to do is to be dressed in the spiritual garments. He wants us to be dressed spiritually. Hallelujah. Inside, spiritual dressing is on the inside. It's not on the outside, but it shows up on the outside. When we are dressed spiritually, spiritually dressed, holy dressed, people will tell. People can tell. You don't have to have the King James Bible or the Amplify or the NLT or the Message Bible, or you don't have to have the Logos Bible or any Bible underneath your arm. When it's in your heart, when it's in your heart, people will know that you are saved and sanctified because you live the life. You live the Bible. You walk the Bible. You are the Bible. This is what God wants. God wants us to dress on the inside. So we're going to talk about dressing this dress. Let's start here in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. I just feel the Holy Ghost already. Let me put up my Bible inside the computer. I got three Bibles on here on the here before me, but let's pull up this one here and go on the Bible. Here in this chapter in Matthew, it's talking about a wedding. But you might see the wedding as a natural wedding, but also you must see the wedding as a spiritual wedding. A wedding in heaven. We're going to go there and see the wedding in heaven in Revelation chapter 19. But here in chapter 22 of Matthew, Jesus is speaking. And Jesus began to elaborate on this kingdom. And he says, Jesus also told them other parables, he said, in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is trying to enlighten them of how they ought to be in order to come to this place. We cannot wait till we died in the grave, because David said, I cannot praise you from the grave. Hallelujah. And we got to praise him. We got to live for him while we're here alive. Most preachers today, and Lord told me this last night, I don't have it. I can't say for sure because I haven't cut that. I haven't checked with all the preachers. But I would say that most preachers today, the mother of the life, she sent me a thing yesterday with all of these preachers. You know them. And all these preachers, big name preachers, you know them, from T.D. Jakes to Joel Osteen to Creflo Dollar to Juanita Bynum to Charles Stanley, all of them. She sent me a list, the mother of this life, she lives in Florida. She sent me a list yesterday, with all of these preachers that all of them have all of these millions and millions of dollars. T.D. Jakes, his portfolio is $147 million. And as I was looking at the list, it's in my computer. As I was looking at the list, and all these other preachers have 100 this, 100 that, and all millions and millions upon millions. And I'm saying to myself, why is all these preachers have all of these millions? And another preacher in Texas, he's a billionaire. He's a multi-billionaire. They don't know how much money he has. Nobody knows how much money he has, so much money. And it's nothing wrong with having money. But when the money has you, you're not going to do what God called you to do. Because I know I'm going to get some millions pretty soon, very, very shortly. They're coming to me. They're already in process to get to me. I have the vouchers there to get them. And when the government release, I will go to Wells Fargo Bank and cash them in. So, but it's going to help the poor. It's going to help the church, the body of Christ. Because I don't want to get rich to walk around and push my chest up that I'm a millionaire. I'm on the fence to come so I can do what God called me to do. Yes, last week somebody sent me $1,000. You know where it went? It went to the church. There are three different people in Africa and India. Yeah, I don't need it. I'm running around. You got some money, you want to push your chest up. Man, God's blessing us so we can bless other people. This is what Blog Talk really is for, to bless people. That's what God want to bless you so you can be a blessing. We get it. The more we get, the more we want. He said, well, somebody came on there two times. I have a call, T.D. Jakes for $147 million. She jumped off. He jumped off. But it doesn't bother me none because the truth is the truth. You know, the Lord told me last night that many people, the Lord dropped this in my spirit last night. I put it on Facebook. Some people going to get mad at me and say, I don't care. If I don't minister for them, I minister for God. Now, when God told Aaron, he told Moses, he said, Moses, he said, he gave Moses a schematic. He gave Moses a plan, the diagram. God's a tailor, too. He's a seamstress. Do you know that? He gave Moses the schematic. He said, look, this is how I want you to make Aaron's son's garments, priestly garments. And he said, no. Moses said, this is how the size I want. This is what I want you to make. I want you to make the ephod and all this stuff. And then he said, because when this is all done, they're going to come and minister to me first before they go to the congregation. So when you minister to God first. God wants to hear the word that's coming out of your heart. God loves to hear his word. So I don't go with that. When I go away, I travel to a country. I travel to preach for God, and God going to hear. Hallelujah. So here in this book of Matthew, the Bible says, Jesus answered and spake unto them, saying, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And sent forth his servants and called them that were bidden or invited to the wedding. And they would not come. Will you ever really study this word and look at how so many people that would be in the house of, I like to call it the house of man, but you say the house of God. In the house of God, the church building. And they profess to be so anointed and so appointed and so approved by God, but they refuse to live for the wedding. They refuse to live for the wedding. You see, it's not just dressing up in my, I got several robes inside my closet. Several priest suits, priest collars, all the stuff that goes with it. But it's not about that. Some place you go, they want you to dress a certain way. Well, I got that for them. Right, but God wants us to dress always on the inside holy. So it would manifest on the outside. We sing that song, something working on the inside is showing on the outside. And we sing about this joy, have the word and give it to me, and the word can't take it away. That's the anointing that's on the inside. We dress up in holiness on the inside. Glory to God. But people are so hard to dress this way because they want to please mankind. They want to please their neighbors. They want to please their boss. Their co-workers, they want to please their family members. But you can't please God and man too. Got to make up in your mind. Which one are you dressing for? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen. It says, they will not come. They were invited. So many folk are teaching and preaching the gospel, but they're not living to go to the wedding. The invitation is there for them, for us, but they're not living to go to the wedding. Remember, he is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. And we're living to wear the bride's outfit. And we're living to put on the bride dress, the robe for the bride. Are we willing? We're living to do that. It's something we ought to be asking ourselves. Not because I'm preaching it. I think about it all the time. I think about it all the time. When Jesus comes, am I going to be go back with him? I'm ready to go back with him. And I have to examine my own self, not you, because I know a lot of people try to pull the milk out of their brothers. I want to have a plank in theirs. I try to fix mine first. Because when God give me a word like this, I start looking at me. I start examining myself from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I start looking at me. I start examining myself and see if I'm in the right place for God to bring me in. If I'm walking right, if I'm living right, if I'm treating people right. One thing I always said, God, don't let me run no game on nobody. That was my past life. When I came back to this walk, I left all of the worldly stuff beside, the worldly lifestyle, the worldly, we call them smart talking, trick talking. If I can't tell you the truth, I ain't going to talk to you. There's no point in speaking with you. I don't want anything from you that God don't want me to have. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said. Listen. He said, again, he sent for other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, where I invited. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. He is begging, pleading. The second time he said it again. The master is begging for them to come to the wedding feast. Come to the banquet. Everything is set in order. Everything, the wine, the food, everything is there. Set for the wedding party. What is going on here, people of God? Look and see that the folk is acting so simple. They're forgetting about holiness. They're forgetting about righteousness. They're forgetting to tell the people to repent and turn from their wicked ways. God wants to hear from heaven. He wants to hear from heaven. He said, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins, and heal your land. And a lot of time when we hear that scripture, we think it's straight about the land out there. God wants to heal the land. No, it's not that land. It's you and I that want me to be healed. We are land in the physical form. We need to be healed. We misinterpret that scripture. Oh, God wants to heal America. America is sick. No! Look on, and you can go and place it in the country, and you can see the produce of this. I just look at a place that was thrown somewhere, Idaho, I think it was, make the potatoes. They were throwing thousands upon thousands of pounds, millions of pounds of potatoes that were thrown down in a ravine. Because the government, our United States government, has jammed the system so much. And you said we're short of food. But the man was saying that, the farmer was saying, like, this is a waste. We can't even send it overseas for the poor. Millions of pounds of dump trucks of potatoes. The Irish potatoes were coming, going down the hill. And then they had to cover it up. They covered up with dirt. Covered them up. God said to tell them, everything is set. The lambs, the goat, the oxen, everything is ready. He said, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servant, the leftover. They took their servant and entreated them spitefully and slew them. You see, there's some that's not going to leave. Some is going to stay behind to hurt us. Jesus already told us that we will be persecuted for the gospel's sake, for his name's sake. We got to get the mindset that I'm so up to serving God that whatever comes down the pipe, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to handle it. I'm not running. I'm not going nowhere. I'm preaching. I'm teaching the gospel. Hallelujah. I had Facebook stop me, try to shut me down. I had YouTube try to stop me from posting. All that stuff, but it can't stop because God always opened back in the door. When they closed one, he opened another one. I got Zoom, all this stuff. They always try to do stuff. But when you're teaching the truth and preaching the truth, you know, we don't have a come on here. Anytime you hear somebody give money on Blog Talk Radio, it's either Apostle Stewart or Evangelist Brown or one of them people coming and say, well, God told them to raise money for the poor. I don't tell them. I don't ask them for nothing. I ain't never asked nobody to help pay for this ministry. Me and my honey, we pay for this every month. It comes out of our account straight to Blog Talk Radio. We don't ask nobody. Because God's line, and God's going to make sure that, see, my skill is plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. And I was just telling somebody, I want to go back to work. 72 years, I want to go back to work. I can make a lot of money in a short space of time. And I have a lot of people. You know, but when you're working, when you're living for God, God will keep you looking like I look. It'll keep you healthy and wealthy. Not sometimes, Christian, when I often talk about wealth, they always think about money in the bank. But this word of God, the Lord told me this morning, it's the wealth that you need is in the book, is in the word. It's in the word. Hallelujah. Let me go back here. Jesus, have mercy. People take, they make light of the gospel. They make light of your preaching and teaching the truth that's going to help them to get into heaven. Hallelujah. This word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This word helps us and keeps us from walking in darkness. And when we're preaching the truth, I don't want all that stuff. Why can't they prophesy? I need, when the prophet going to come on the line and start prophesying to us, I need a prophetic word from the Lord. And then they call you with some stupid stuff like you some witch or some warlock. You some psychic. What is the Lord saying about me? It seems like the Lord got all day just talking about you. Like the Lord going to spend his day just talking about you. What is the Lord saying about me? That's a laugh. I said, man, God don't talk like that. When we pray, it's then that God will release a word in us for somebody that in our midst. But whether you're looking for a psychic, and can you tell me what my hand is saying? Can you tell me what my day, when this evening is going to be? Man, don't come to me with that foolishness. Man, get in the word of God. See God what God is saying about you. He's speaking about us all day long. He said, if we love him, listen to what he says. If we love him and we walk right before him, he said, no good thing will I withhold from you. That's what God said. See, the first thing to do is loving God. You'll hear people say, if you walk right before God. But the scripture says, if you love God and you walk right before him, no good thing will I withhold from him. People are going to bless you and don't even know why they're blessing you. Because God said, you touch their heart. You touch their heart and cause them to give into your bosom. You got to ask nobody for nothing. I sit here sometimes. I would tell a pastor watching this. And sometimes I had no funds. I tell you no lie. I got some people that Lord has helped me to bless them. When they were in need for me, a blessing from me, I would bless them, you know, my skills. And man, I'd come home. And there'd be a letter in between my storm door and the front door. I tell you no lie. And it'd be hundreds of dollars. I had to tell them, don't put the cash money in that stuff like that. Cause somebody put a storm door in this open and see that drop out. And decide to open it and they get the money. So they put a check in there. Sometimes they put it on Zelle or WhatsApp or Cash App or Wallet Place or PayPal. I don't ask them for nothing. I don't ask them for nothing. Why? Because if you live good, if you love God, and if you treat God people right, the other people will bless you. The same people that you're treating right may not bless you. You may be preaching over there at the church, and the church don't give you an offering. But God has somebody down the way. See you in the grocery store. Stand up in the grocery store. I don't know where the Lord's seeing all this. But you'll be in the grocery store. You'll be at the doctor's office. Listen to me. You'll be at the gas station. But get out of it. Oh, I've been looking for you. The Lord put you on my heart. Man, here, let me just do this, because God put you on my heart. I just want to bless you, preacher. He said, praise, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord bless you. That's how God do it. That's how I do it. You don't have to run around telling nobody nothing. Don't tell nobody nothing. God do it. Just live right. Just love the Lord. But here's what he says. I'm going to get to this. I'm going to do a part two. Bless the Lord. Let me see what it says. Glory to God. Wednesday, we're not going to come on. I don't think so. Unless I get a preacher. And I doubt I'm able to because I got an appointment on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. And I can't carry my computer. Can't have my phone where I'm going. So it's a very serious appointment. So it's not nothing like I'm going to go to jail or something like that. But it's an appointment with some very important people that I have to meet. And they don't want to be recorded. You know what I'm saying? So I have to work the way it says. He said that they... They made light of the invitation. One went to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant, the one that was behind, took his servant, the one that brought the invite, came and tell him that the master is waiting, and they entreated them spitefully and slew them to even kill them. This is how the world is going to be. The world is turning right now. That they don't care if you're a preacher. They don't care what title or gift you have. They're going to come so much against the gospel. They don't want to hear the name Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Bible told you that. Jesus said you will be persecuted for his name's sake. Just for his name's sake. Just for calling Jesus. I know when I was in Washington, D.C., and that year there was hijacking cars and all this stuff so much. That was the big thing. And one preacher was leaving church, and the gangsters wanted his car. I don't know what kind of car he's got, a Lexus or something. And when he got the car, that man pushed him away and jumped in the car. And his hand got caught in the door. Guess what happened? They tore his hand off. They didn't care if he was a preacher or no preacher. This is real. This is true. They tore his hand off. Tore his hand off. The hijacker didn't care. He didn't care. It was the preacher. It took off. So the world coming, we get to a place now that you have to make sure that we have, not you, but we have to make sure that we're walking in the way. We're walking in the way. Paul talked about the way. When he was going looking for, he started looking, if he found any people in that way, what way? That walk in the Christian way. Serving Jesus. We got to make sure that we are in the way, that we are walking according to the instruction that God has given us. When you're out there working out in the vineyard, you got to make sure that your light is shining. You don't get in there. People watching, looking at Playboy magazine and stuff on their rest time. And you said, oh, that's real funny. That's good. That's cute. No. Don't do that. Because remember, your eyes are the window to your soul. Your ears are gates. So what you see and hear affects your soul. So don't get involved in that stuff. I don't hang around with people when they're making nasty, filthy jokes. I say, I got to go. See you later. Bye-bye. I say, stop with that stuff. I say, I'll see you later. And especially if I know that they got a filthy mouth, I expect them to say something anyway, so I don't spend much time with them anyway. Because I don't want to get it in my spirit. It's always, your spirit records stuff. And while you're laying down at night, sitting down, or sitting in the house, all of a sudden, the CD player begins to spin and rewind. Play about that stuff in your spirit. You don't want to hear that stuff. Now he says, they killed. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, he was mad, he was upset. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. You'll find the scripture and also in Daniel 9:26, Luke 19:27. Then said he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden or invited were not worthy. Can you imagine God calling us? Well, let me talk with me. Calling me from the crack house. And I get out here from the crack house and reject Christ. I went out the crack house because I wanted, at the point in time, I wanted something different. So now I get out the crack house, the whore house, the lying house, the gossiping house, the stealing house, the blaspheming house. Now I'm out here. And I think that I become something. I like to say a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. I feel that I have arrived. I believe that I'm something now. So now I stop elaborating about how awesome God is and what he's done at Calvary. Now I'm talking about me, what I have, what I achieve. Stop talking about all this stuff. What you're driving, what you're living, where you have, or how many swimming pools you have, how many garages you have. Stuff that you got to leave behind. Jesus says that, this is Jesus speaking, he said that we're not worthy. They were not worthy. He using this analogy in this sermon here to let us see what should be more important to us. The worldly stuff, the materialistic stuff of this world, or living a lifestyle for the kingdom. Remember that your lifestyle is your ministry. It is your worship. You think because you sing in the choir and you play the keyboard and you play the saxophone and the drums and all this stuff and you preach that. No, your lifestyle is your ministry. It's your worship. When you kneel from behind that podium, when we come out that church building and we kneel from behind that podium, that's when your worship begins. That's when your preaching begins because people are looking at us then. They're observing who we really are. Are we really the preacher that we profess when we were in that building? Oh, no, we become like the Incredible Hulk. You know, he was a doctor. He played a doctor, Dr. David Biscay. But when something go wrong, he run away and tore his shirt off and become a monster. So where we live, where we are in the sanctuary of doctor theology. But when we come out, we put on the garments of the night. Homosexual, lesbian, fornicator, adultery, blasphemer, drunkard, alcoholic, crackhead, heroin addict. All these things we put on at nighttime. You know, they got a preacher right here now that was in Boston a couple of years ago. He got arrested. He was one of the biggest dope crack cocaine pushers here in Boston, Massachusetts. Walked around all day long with a priest caught on. All day long. That he was really somebody. Come on, the Apostolic Church of One and Pentecostal Church or something. And when they found out that he was responsible for some of his people, had shot people and killed people, the people that was telling his dope. He's in jail right now. I hope he's preaching in there. Been a long time. See, because we get behind the podium, we act so holy and so pious, but when we get from behind the podium, we forget about being holy. We forget about being righteous, being who God called us to be. It's not when you open the house. You're preaching to the people that say they're saved. But what about the ones out there outside the household of faith? Can they see the holiness on us when we are not in the household of faith? I say, I want that what you have. You're not misrepresenting, but you're representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know this is not a shoulder message, but it is good to me. Listen. He said, they're not worthy. He said, go ye therefore into the highway, and as many as you shall find, bid them or invite them to the marriage. It's going to be amazing to see the people that's going to be in heaven. Some of the people that we don't think that's going to be in heaven, going to be in heaven. They weren't at the church building. But they've been living a lifestyle that pleased Yahweh, Yeshua. Some of the people that we condemn and send to hell. Because they wasn't walking like us. And a lot of us is not going to make it in. I'm living that. Ask God to help me to live this walk. I said it this morning to him. Talked to him this morning. Help me to walk. I said, Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding that I will fulfill the assignment that you have placed upon my life. I will live it out. That was my prayer this morning. Talking to him. You gotta get this. You gotta get to this place, man, that nothing matters. I tell you, Mr. Jones, if you get a fleet of trucks, if you get a fleet of trucks, if God bless you with a fleet of trucks and you don't live holy, it wouldn't make a difference. If you have trucks from your city to my city and you're not living holy, it wouldn't make a difference because your trucks don't have no value in heaven. Neither do they have value in hell. Houses don't have no value in heaven. No, they don't have no value in hell. The only thing have value is our soul. And two spirits. Two spirits are fighting for your soul, for our soul. The devil, Satan, Diablo, Beelzebub, he got many names, the dragon, the beast, is fighting for our soul. And Yahweh, Yeshua, Tiskanu, Jehovah Shabbat, Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Elyon, is standing at the door waiting for us to let him in. He wants our soul. He is a spirit. That's why he says we got to worship him in spirit and truth. I'm going to get through the message, but I got to give you everything he's laying on my heart. Listen, we ain't going too far down here. Listen what he says. He told his servant, go into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them or invite them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. I want you to notice something in this particular verse. Then they went out there looking for the one that was wearing tuxedos. They went out there looking for the one that was so eloquent that I needed to have you at the thing. Deborah said that the invaded or they brought bad and good. Because guess what? The master makes the difference. I want you to understand that. Look at me, where I was. In the whole house. Committing adultery. Smoking crack cocaine. Cussing like a drunken sailor. Would you say I was bad or you would say I was a good person? Well, I would tell who I was a bad person. Absolutely filthy. Any other word that came up my mouth was a cuss word. I slept with everybody's husband and wife. You hear what I tell you? That's what I did. God did this and loved me this, and he brought me out. He brought me out. God brought me out. Because he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. He saw that I was willing to change. I thought I would smoke cocaine till I died. I remember one time on the 13th floor. Never liked the 13th floor since then. I was on the 13th floor in Alexandria, the high-rise building. Me and some associates, I thought they were my friends. We worked a lot together doing the plumbing, heating, air conditioning work. And we smoked so much cocaine, we had a lot of women there. We were having orgies and all that kind of stuff. You hear what I tell you? We were having orgies. Oh, my Lord. It was filthy, messy, but we thought it was good. And guess what happened? This old heart that they have here stopped. Stop! You hear what I tell you? This old heart I have stopped. And a guy named Mike Hunter, I can remember like now. And Mike Hunter and Michael Scott. This is what they tell me they did. I don't know because I was out. They tell me they put a ice cold towel on my chest to bring down my pressure because I was so up, you know, from the crack cocaine. Heart had run a million miles an hour, million beats an hour, and then stopped. They didn't call paramedics because they was afraid that if they called the paramedics, you know when you call the paramedics, who come? The police come too. My daughter died here in 2017. She liked alcohol. And every time she go out on alcohol, we would call the ambulance. We would call the ambulance would come, and the police would come. And sometimes the police come in the house, they come in there with a cop to take her out, and they come in with guns drawn. I said, well, you know, I'm not a valet, man, so you don't need the guns, you can put your guns away. And the police would tell me, well, we just gotta make sure that we're safe and not sorry. So, well, ain't no point. I had to put the dog away because they would want to shoot the dog, because this dog, she's a nice dog, but if she don't know, she'll want to bite you. And I called for my daughter. Because why? She's living different. I said, look, you gotta make up your mind. She didn't want to, but I prayed for her to receive the gift of salvation. My son is locked up right now in Virginia. He's coming out in April. And my son called me up on the phone. He said, Dad, you know, I'm so proud of you. He said, I'm proud of you because I see God working in your life, how God has changed your life. Because I was a rebel. I was a wretch undone. And God's still working on me. I'm not there yet. I'm telling you. I'm not trying to tell you, make you feel, like a prophet. No, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm still striving. I'm like Paul. I'm pressing for that mark of the place of the high calling in Christ Jesus. But one thing I want to do, I want to know him. Hallelujah. I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being conformed unto death. Hallelujah. That's what I want to do. I want to get to that place. I'm striving to get there. All of us should be striving to get there. Want to know him better. I know him, but I want to know him better. Some people know of him. But we need to get to know him. We ought to be facing on that. We want to get more cars, more trucks, more bus, more houses, more swimming pools. Man, that stuff got to leave behind. He told me this morning. I put it on Facebook. He said, many going to go to hell. He said, the lake of fire and brimstone from the church house. I put it on Facebook this morning. The Lord is speaking to me. I was praying. I said, wow, Lord. He said, yeah. He said, because he told me this morning, he said, they stop from following who I am and speaking my truth. He said, they're going after the world stuff. materialistic things. They take up to these things more than taking up to what I'm showing them life. He said, but the riches, when he told me this morning, he said, the riches that you need is in my word. He said, the riches that you need is in my word. He said, but the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the people, blinded their minds, so they don't see the richness of the gospel. They don't see it. I said, well, I just read the book and just study the book. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, right divide the word of truth. Once you get this truth inside of you, you're never poor. You may not have no money in your pocket, but you're never poor. You're spiritually rich. You have spiritual deposits that you can make, spiritual withdrawals. Folk have money, plenty of money in the bank. And when stuff is going on, they don't know which way it's up. That's why you see so many stars, so many movie stars, and millionaires and billionaires, people are coming in suicide. They're committing suicide now with all that money. I was telling my wife, she said, well, these people commit suicide. Yeah. I said, well, honey, but they were rich people. What's wrong? They don't know Jesus. They're rich with worldly stuff, worldly goods, but they don't have no heavenly deposits. So if you're sick in your body, you can go talk to Jesus. They don't know how to talk to him. Because they have not developed a relationship with them. Their relationship is in the bank. Bitcoins and gold and diamonds and all that stuff that's going to fade away. The gold that's on the earth cannot go to heaven. The gold that's in heaven is pure. Don't have no lead in it. Don't have no zinc, no copper, no nothing. It's not mixed with anything. It's pure. It's pure. The Bible says like glass. It's pure. We say, oh, trust, I want to get to walk on those streets of gold. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to get to walk on those streets with my Savior. I want to drink from the fountain of life. I want to take a bath in the river of life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said. Those servants went out into the highway and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which hadn't, not on a wedding garment. Remember what the prophet says. Make sure you're dressed for the occasion. No excuses are accepted. See, you can't come to the wedding. Listen to me. We cannot go to the wedding if we are not specially dressed. Listen to me, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Yet we cannot enter into that gate of holiness if we're not dressed right. We have to be spiritually dressed from the inside out. When the king comes, he can see right through you and I. He can see through our actions. He can see through our emotions. He can see through our thoughts. Because he says, remember when Samuel went down to Jesse's house because Saul was messing up and God had rejected Saul from being king. And Samuel, God said, look, I'm sick and tired of Saul. He said, no, I said, it grieves me that I even make Saul a king. I'm not looking at the scripture. I'm telling you what's in my spirit, what I know. He said, look, go down to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. He got a son down there that I've already chosen. He's already my king. He's the next one to lead Israel, to watch over Israel, my sheep. And they passed all of these others. Jesse had 8 sons. But they passed 7 sons before Samuel. And the first son that come, Samuel said, sure thing, he's the king. And God said, no, he's not a king. And then God tells Samuel, you're looking on the outside because he looks good on the outside. But God says, I look at the heart. I look straight through him and look at his heart. He don't have good intentions. He don't have the good thoughts for the people of God. Hallelujah. You have to have a mindset to live for God. You have to have a mindset to be obedient for God. Hallelujah. Folk don't have this mindset, people. They don't want to be apostles, want to be bishops, and want to be evangelists and pastors and teachers, but they don't know that you've got to be humble. You have to be humble to lead God's people, because why? They're going to be good and bad. That's what the message says. They're going to be good and bad in the sheep. All the sheep are not good. Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said that there's other sheep that belong to the flock, but they're not yet in the shop, in the flock. He says that men shall believe on him through their word. So what are we speaking? Are we speaking our word? See, we write scriptures. We write sermons. And we try to put in all this stuff because we went to the school of theology. And they tell you in a minute, Pastor, they tell, oh, I went to school of theology. I got a doctorate degree. I got a PhD degree. They tell all this stuff. That stuff don't get you to heaven. That piece of paper you got, that some principle of one of those people get to you, all it does is impress man. That don't impress God. What impresses God is your heart. That your heart is tuned to his heart. That will really move God. God is not moved by your new Cadillac, your new Mercedes-Benz or Lexus, or your four-bedroom, five-bedroom, two-car, three-car garage, swimming pool. He's not moved by that stuff. He's moved by your heart. And in the past 7 sons before Samuel. And God said, oh, that's Samuel. None of them. And Samuel, now God done talked to Samuel. He said, is this all your heart? And Jesse said, no, there's one over there. He's out in the field with the sheep. He said, well, we will not sit down to eat. We will not sit down to eat until I see that one that's in there. And the Bible said that I was reading from, said that he was dark. That means he was a Negro. He wasn't no blonde. Caucasian with blue eyes like the Bible said he was. And to portray him as in the movies. He was an African. Dark skin. And he had those eyes that was glowing. The whiteness in his eyes was so beautiful. You ever seen anybody from Somalia? Out in Ghana. Ethiopia, you see them, their eyes are, the black in the eyes is so pretty, it's glowing, and then the white that surrounds the black is so beautiful, clean. That's for David. And when he saw David, he couldn't wait to take the flask and pour the oil on David, because David was dressed. He was dressed for the marriage. He was dressed for the wedding. God seen it. Even though David make mistakes. Because the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 22 that they brought in the bad and the good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Hallelujah. See, you have to have this thing on the inside. We are too apt to try to get the outside. I have to have a Rolex watch. I have to have a diamond ring. I have to have a gold bracelet on my arm. I got to have all of this stuff. I got to have the best pair of alligator crocodile shoes on, because all the preachers now are wearing these $3,500 shoes. So if I want to fit in with them and look like an apostle between them. One man told me one time, he was asking me, I went to this convocation, and he asked me, he said, they introduced me, and then he said, oh, you're an apostle. He says, where's your church? So I told him I don't have a church. Church belongs to Jesus Christ, but I don't have a building. So he stopped talking to me. And the Lord told me, he said, don't converse with him. He told me, don't converse with him. Don't talk with him. So I didn't talk with him anymore. So see, the problem is that they think you got to have a church building. But when you go back in the book of Acts, you look and you see Paul has planted many churches, but they don't own any church. He didn't own any church. He set up preachers, pastors, and teachers to lead the church, but he had no church. The apostles didn't have no church. You know, the Bible said they went from house to house breaking bread. The word of God. Fellowshipping and breaking bread. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. We kind of said, well, every pastor say he is a pastor, but he don't have a building. You say, well, where are your pastors? Where do you go? You got a canopy. Heaven is your canopy. It's your building roof. It's your building roof. Wherever you go, you open your mouth and sound the alarm. Talk about Jesus. That is your sanctuary. wherever you go, and you tell them about Jesus. People got big, fancy buildings and no anointing. Fancy buildings, no Holy Ghost. Don't have the presence of the Lord there. Why? Because they're running the show. That's why when they say, when the pastor comes, they say, oh, everyone stand up. The pastor's in the house. The bishop is in the house. The pastor's in the house. Man, don't stand up for me. Stand up for Jesus. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. I mean, you respect the man of God as a man of God, servant of God, or the woman of God as a servant of God. But you need to worship God. Give God all the glory and all the honor. They don't say too much, Jesus. But as soon as the pastor coming, as soon as the preacher coming, everybody on their feet. And if you don't get up, the rest of folks that's standing up will look at you like you are a stray dog. You don't belong to the pack. Let me finish this. I just got a couple more verses here to give you an aha. Let me see where I'm at. And I'll get over here. Let me see. I got plenty of scriptures on this, but I'm not going to go over there because the Holy Ghost is staying right here. He says, this is the God Jesus speaking. He says, and he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He couldn't talk. They say, well, you don't really, really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know what to say. Well, you don't have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who paid the price at Calvary, you can't talk. Matter of fact, you don't say anything because you haven't been spending time with him. This is what the Lord said, well, I know God. Well, awesome. How, which God do you know? Because remember, Satan, or the devil, or the beast, or the dragon, he is the God of this world. The Prince of Peace. The God has called him the God of this world. So when folks come and tell what I believe in, God said, what God do you believe in? Which God do you believe in? Because there are many gods. Which God do you believe in? Remember Jesus said he had that, that they go, he told Moses, as soon as you leave this world, as soon as you die, he said the people, we talked about that yesterday. He said the people, he said they're going to turn away from me. He said they're going to reject me. He said they're going to go worshiping other gods, other idols. Where they go to in the lands that they are. You understand what I'm saying? If they don't know him, they can't respond. If they don't have a relationship with him, they can't respond. Everybody wants to tell they know God, don't have no relationship. You can't get them to pray. You can't get them to fast. You can't get them to study the word of God, but they say they know God. How are you going to know him? They ain't going to study the word. How are you going to know him when you don't spend no time with him? Every day, every minute of the day, you don't have to run around with a long old prayer like you know the Bible better than anybody else. But through the day, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, how wonderful you are. God, I thank you for just keeping me. Lord, in the midst of this pandemic, how you shield me and protect me from even breathing in that virus. Lord, I've been in that house doing some work, and those people wasn't wearing any masks, but Lord, how you kept me from any symptom that they had in their body. Make simple praise all through the day because you have a relationship with them. You can talk to them all the time. Lord, I thank you. I came down the road and people, there were shots going everywhere. But Lord, I was able to drive through that neighborhood and not one of the shots hit my truck. Nobody in my car get hit. Man, just thank him. There's always something to thank God for. Go to Africa. When you come back from Africa or India, you'll find something to praise God for. You'll have so much more to praise God for. Because when you look and see that the people got to go down to a nasty, filthy river where the goats and the sheep go and defecate and the cows and all that stuff and the horse and donkey defecate in the river and they go take the plastic jars and drain the water, get the water out of the same river and bring back the water to cook with and wash with, wash their clothes with and then take a bath in the same nasty, filthy river. You'll praise God for the water you have. We let the sink turn on, I told my granddaughter. We let the sink turn on, let the water just run. Because we don't appreciate it. We got clean water. It may not be 100%, but to the water you left in Africa or India is 100%. I see the kids was eating off the dumpster. Now why send money to them? Now why send money to them? We got young people down there that don't have, the man just breed them and they got pregnant. And now they got the kids, they don't come in a lot of abortions in Africa. They keep the kids. And Block Talk Radio's sending food for them to Western Union so they can buy food. Send, buy their books, buy their clothes, all that stuff we do. We don't take the money and go buy suits. I got too many suits, man. And I'm not boasting. I got a big box in the kitchen, stand up there with all kind of stuff. And this week, I'm going to go in the closet and put in that stuff because I got to take that box down to the big thing so I can put it in. I'm buying no more suits, Bishop. I'm not buying any more suits. I told the Lord so. I'm not buying any more suits. I got enough suits in the closet to last me till he take me home. And the ones that I got a little tight, I'm giving them away. Because I'm not getting back down to that size. I had a 36 waist one time. I got a 42 now. I'm not going to get back to 36. I ain't even trying to get to 36. So give away some of your stuff. Go in your closet, man. When the weather break in springtime and you say you spring cleaning, take off some of them shoes that you got in there that you ain't wearing 2 years. Some poor person can wear them shoes. You got dresses, you got wigs that you ain't wear. One lady told me she had over 200 wigs. She a pastor. What do you need 200 wigs for? How many heads you got? How many heads you got? You got blue wigs, red wigs, yellow wigs, green wigs, black wigs, purple wigs, brown wigs, and you black. All kind of wigs you got. Over 200 wigs. Somebody in the place got cancer. They all the hair drop out. Go take some wigs down there for them so they can feel good about themselves and they can fight to live. That's what you do. This is what he says. Look. He asked the man. The man said, he came on, the king came in. He said, this fellow there didn't have a wedding garment on. He wasn't dressed in holiness. He didn't have righteousness on. He didn't have peace on. He didn't have joy on. He wouldn't have long-suffering on. He didn't have no patience. He wasn't filled with forgiveness. Hallelujah. This is the wedding garment. You think it's a robe? No, all of this is right over there in the book of Galatians, the wedding garments, fruit of the Spirit. That's right. We got to be dressed. That's the way we got to be dressed. As believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. Not following your pastor or your bishop or your apostle. Hallelujah. You can tell a real apostle when you see one because they live their life. They don't live for stuff. You know, the book of Acts, said the Bible says that they sell all that they had and they give to whoever had need of, from the least to the greatest. I'm not telling you to sell your house and sell your car. You need your house to sleep in. You need your car to get from point A to point B. But stuff, we can do more. We can do more. We try to get stuff. Oh, I got to make sure. Man, when I get 95 years old, you think I need a whole bunch of money to say I want to live? If God said, I asked God when I was a little boy, I said, Lord, I want to live to 106 years old. I told the Lord that. Well, I didn't even know the reason why I asked God that. And I was a rebel. I was so bad. Providence, I was so bad. I played the dice. I used to gamble. I used to play stud poker. All of this stuff, Romy and Tunk and all that stuff. I used to gamble bad. I used to hang out with the grown-ups because I wanted to learn the life. Get whipped all the time because I should be home. Doing homework, but between the grown-ups. You hear what I'm telling you? I want to know. May I ask God when you live by the Lord, I want to live to 106. I didn't even know the reason why I asked him that. And they said when I was in Israel, they said I was about 16 or so. They said, you ain't gonna live to see 21 years old. Matter of fact, they said you wouldn't live to see 18. And one of my relatives, he got killed. Christ was still at nighttime, go to nighttime. And the night he was walking on the beach. And they thought it was me. And they killed him and threw him in the water. He washed up on the beach, dead. I'm 72 years old, man. Because God knew that he had a plan for my life. When I asked him in a little boy that I want to live to see 106, God said, I got a plan for you. I was going to Sunday school, going to Bible study, and going to church, all this stuff, the Episcopal Church, which is under the Catholic. And they sprinkled me in water. I got baptized when I came to America. I went down the water in Jesus' name, but I was sprinkled in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But I went down the water because that's how the Bible said we should be baptized in Jesus' name. They said, well, what did he say in Matthew 28 and 19? Baptizing them in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is singular. Singular. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, singular. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name, singular, of the Holy Ghost. When we get that revelation, the revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. That's why the apostles only baptized in Jesus' name. They didn't baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You can't find nowhere in the Bible. They're baptized in Jesus' name. And I got baptized here. And God took me from a young man to an older man. Getting older. But still feel young in my spirit. In my flesh, I feel young. I can do a lot at my age 72 that some fellas younger than me can't do. So I went there and shovel all that snow. God's fixing my heart. I tell my wife last night, I said, baby, I don't have no pain. Then he said, 13 and 14, he says, then said the king, Jesus speaking, to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, that there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Everybody wants to come in, but nobody wants to come in the right way. Everybody thinks that they're going in, but many will be left out. I want you to notice today that many think that they're going into heaven because they preach the gospel, because they sing the gospel, because they play in the gospel chorus, but they're not going in. Well, you know, how you know that, Apostle? But because the Bible said, without holiness, no man will see God. Well, you're going to see him as a judge, but you're not going to see him as a king. You're not going to see him as the bridegroom. Because as a judge, you're going to condemn you, your sin, your sinful lifestyle will condemn you to the lake of fire and brimstone. That's the second death. I posted that on Facebook this morning, too. That's the second death. Folks say, well, I got this one life to live, and once I live this life, it's over. Not true. You're gonna die, you're going to bury, and you're going to raise again. You're going to raise up again. The Bible talks about a second death. Because that we refuse to serve God with all our mind, body, and soul, and live for him, honor his commands, his statutes, and his laws, we will be condemned to the lake of fire and brimstone. And the only way to go there is the second death. That's spiritual death. You're going to die physically first. That's the first death. For all of us going to die physically. But all of us are not going to die spiritually. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, he died to save your soul, not your flesh. Now we commit our soul to him. In this life that we're living, I make a decision that we're going to live for him. Guess what happens? He washes your soul. The soul is being washed in the blood to protect the soul from Satan and all of his agents, his attacks. The soul is washed, not the body. That's why when we are saved and sanctified, when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, if we don't work on our own salvation with fear and trembling to keep that soul under the blood, what happens? The flesh will pull out. The flesh will pull up and want to do what the flesh want to do. That's why Paul said there's always a war going on inside of me. He said there's a war going on inside of me. That's why Paul lived the scripture in Philippians chapter 3 and 10. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto death. So Paul said, I want to know him in this way, because how can this man love me so much? Because I ain't going to Calvary. To give up his life to be pierced and nailed and crowned, spit upon. How can he love me so much? This drugstore called me. I don't know where they call it, but I ain't fooling with them. Wow. How can he love me so much? Paul said, I want to develop the same kind of love for God's people. That's what he's saying. We got to develop this kind of love, the same kind of love for God's people. Don't love people because they can give you a $100 bill. Don't love them because they can fill your car with gas. Love them because all souls belongs to God. All souls. And we want the soul not to sin. Why? We want them to see Christ in us. The songwriter said this morning, Lord, let them see you in me. He said, shine your light in me that they may see you in me. Hallelujah. The problem is with us, as preachers, most of us, not all of us, I'm not talking to you all on the line. I'm just talking to the those that are going to listen. The problem with most of the preachers is that they want to be seen. But Jesus ought to be seen in us as our Lord, as the Redeemer, as the Savior. But we get to a place because now we are the apostle, we're the bishop, we are the evangelist, the prophet, the prophetess, the teacher. Now we got to the place where we are in the part of the fivefold ministry, but we're not living the fivefold ministry life. We need to live the fivefold ministry. I'm ministering this way because this is the way the Lord has shown me this way. I don't have any notes. And I'm not even going after the footnotes in the Bible. Got my study book, Bible, which is a book. I think that's about 23 years. That's that Bible over there. And I ain't even looking at that. That's got the best footnotes I've ever seen in the Bible. An old Nelson, very old one, first Nelson's, that Bible. And I tell you, I'm not looking at everything that you hear me releasing is coming from the Holy Spirit. We have to get so excited about living for Christ that we're not afraid of dying. You hear what I said? Let me say that again. We got to get so excited about living for Christ that we're not afraid of dying. Because the life you save is the life you will lose. But the life you lose for his name's sake is the life will be saved. It's so important, people of God. We got to get that way. Jesus said to the servants to bring this man. Why? Because he wanted to be in a place that he wasn't dressed for. He was not equipped to be in that place. People don't want to get into that holy room, but they can't come into that holy room. Hallelujah. They want to come to that place like some folks. As soon as they go to a church building, they go to the front because they say, well, I'm an apostle. I'm a bishop. I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor, a teacher, prophet, a prophetess. You know when I go, I've been in a new building, new church building. You know what I said? I sit in the back. At the last time to go visit a church building, I don't go to too many churches. They said, go visit a church building. I said, okay. I told my husband, I'm going to visit this church next week. When I go there, if I have my priest collar, I don't priest collar, I got a priest suit on, I sit in the back. Somebody going to come and ask me why I sit in the back. Here, come up front. The pastor wants you to come up front. The bishop wants you to sit. The pastor wants you to sit up front. But why he go and sit in the front and then he come and tell me, oh, Pastor Bishop so-and-so sits here. The chair may not be, the seat may not, the pew may not be marked. But they go sit up front, and guess what? The evangelist is supposed to sit there. Huh? The Bible says you'll be removed from that seat, and you're going to feel shame, embarrassed. Don't put yourself up there. Let them draw you. Let them pull you up. Let them pull you up to that place the dog want to go. She tells me she wants to go. But you got let them move you from the back to the front. Don't go up to the front because you think you all that in the bag of tissue and the Pensacola. Sit in the back and then your gift, the Bible says your gift will make room for you. Your gift will make room for you. All you have to do is sit there. Let your gift make the room. It'll make the room for you. You're anointed and appointed by God. Hallelujah. You're anointed and appointed by God. And if you walk and live in the anointing, glory to God, the anointing will speak for itself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, in Africa, oh, my Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit just showed up and people begin to get healed. I'm talking about healing, not make-believe healing. Folks still testifying. People still testifying. I got people send me emails and say, oh, Pastor, we remember when you was here. Especially the second time you was in Africa, remember, oh, what a wonderful time that was, how God moves and how God used you. I said, well, praise God, all the glory belongs to God. And I like what they say, how God moved you, because I didn't do nothing. You know, a lot of times we want to take the glory, you know, take the honor that's due to God's name, because we preach well or teach well or sing well or play well, you know. I got my granddaughter, two granddaughters. One's playing the violin, the younger one, and the older one, she just turned 21. She makes the saxophone talk. And I'm praying that she was raised up Jewish. My wife is Jewish, so she was raised up Jewish. And I'm praying that God would touch her heart. She see the anointing that's on my life, and the light that's on me would shine on her, and she would play for the Lord. Because she's gifted. She plays the sax, the baritone saxophone, the alto sax. And she's only 21. She reads music. I've put the sheet before her, and she goes to town. She goes to town. And I'm praying for her. And the other one, she was telling me last night, talking to her. She lives in Virginia. I'm talking to her. She's my son's daughter. And she loves her grandpa. She loves her grandpa. And I was talking to her. She said, "Grandpa, I'm playing the violin now." I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "Well, you and Samar can play for God, you know." So God has given us gifts and given us family members that got gifts to use for the kingdom. We have to make sure that we get to that place. We get to that place that we don't get so puffed up and thinking that because God is using us that we all got in a bag of chips and petrichor. I say that, God gave me that for some time back. Never feel that you're more than who God say you are. Just make sure everything that we do points back to Jesus. I don't care what nobody comes and say, "Oh, sister, you preach real well." To praise the Lord, to God be the glory. Now, guess what? They're going to stop. A lot of them don't want you. They think you all that, you know, when you are. Why you got to say to God be the glory? Why? Because it belongs to him. "Oh, you preach well. You preach well, sir." To God be glory. To God be glory. To God be glory. Let it stay there all the time. God will use you because you're not trying to take what belongs to him. God, listen. I'm getting ready to shut down. God give to every man glory. Every one of us that preach the gospel has glory. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he says his glory he will not share with no one. And it's right. It's rightfully true. But the Bible also said in John 17 that he gave us glory. Why did God give us glory? Because we cannot preach this gospel without the glory. The glory is the anointing. It is the unction to teach and preach the gospel with the power of God flowing through you. That's what it is. But the glory that belongs to God is called reverence. Reverence. Where you absolutely, equivalently honor him. And give him the honor because it's him that's doing the work. We just the instrument that he's using. We are like we are just the male people. We have the bag, the mailman. The mailman carries the bag with the mail. But he ain't writing no mail. You get the mail, you're excited, you thank the mailman. You would even give the mailman a present at Christmas time, Easter, sometime. Because he brought you good mail. When he bring you bad mail, do you want to talk to him or you don't want to talk to him? Well, you should talk to him the same way. And sometimes God, he gives us bad mail. Because when we act a fool, he gives us bad mail. What's the bad mail? Correction. Chastisement. The Bible says he's chasing those he loves. We don't want to be chasing any time. Tell you today, it's a good day. God has blessed us. The bishop is on the line. And I just thank God for all you all that came on and hear this message. I'm going to do a part two of it. And I've got a lot more scripture. I want to come to Romans chapter 12 and so on. I want to come and hit this word. But we want to be able to meet Jesus when he called us. We want to be with him. We don't want to be left out. And we are determined that we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to dress us up with the holy garments. We're going to walk in them. We want people to see the garments. Because when they see the garments, they'll see the one who clothed us in the garments. Let me get this dog in. This is what we want people to say. You see, be so excited, man. I was in Virginia preaching in the home church, and this young man came in. His mother was part of the church. His sister was part of the church. And when he came in the church, I said, "Mama, who that?" "Pastor David." So he said, I didn't know he was a preacher. He said, "Yeah, he's one of the preachers here in the church." He couldn't believe. Because my life had gone from a crack house, a whorehouse, to God's house. I'm saying this because somebody out there thinks that they're so gone so far in the lifestyle of heroin and cocaine and marijuana and methamphetamines and angel dust and all that stuff, wacky weed. You know, that's the where they mix the embalming fluid on herbs and they smoke that stuff. I smoked that stuff one time, I almost went crazy. One time, one of my friends told me, try that stuff. I smoked that stuff. I tell you, man, I almost went crazy. I had to go in the shower naked, man. I mean naked. In hot of the day, heat of the day. And go in the shower. Man, stay up in the cold, ice cold water to come down from that stuff. Boy, I never want to smoke that stuff again. But God that went to the cross, laid down his life on the cross, delivered me. And I can tell anybody without any shame that I'm saved and that I'm living for Christ. And I dare either one of you to really submit and commit. Submit and commit to the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And see what he'll do for you. He'll do for you what nobody can do, not your husband, not your wife, not your children. Like your brother or your sister, he'll do for you. That's the God I serve. Come on in, brother Bishop, and do the prayer of salvation. We'll open the line if anybody got something to say. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Apostle. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for allowing us to be in the land of the living today. Father God, you know there are many who are on this line who have backslidden. And I urge them to stop wherever they are. Turn around, repent from what you were doing. Come back. Let that old man die. Don't go back and dig him up. And when I say mankind, don't go back and do the things that you were doing. Same thing with anyone who has never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Be assured that if you do, when you do, and I pray today that you do it, when you do, repent. If you are in a homosexual relationship, a lesbian relationship, whatever, if you're living with someone out of wedlock, going back, tell that person, hey, either we're going to get married or we'll have to go our separate ways. I'm choosing the Lord. Why don't you choose the Lord? You know, it kind of encourage them to do it, you know, not kind of encourage them, because if you make up your mind, tell you this, you repent. Once you make the confession that you want Jesus in your life, all your sins are forgiven you. You're a brand new creature in Christ. You're an ambassador. You don't have to wear a title like, oh, I'm an apostle, I'm a bishop, I'm an evangelist, I'm a deacon, any title. You have a title. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador to Christ Jesus. Invite someone to him. Not just because I'm doing this on this line here. I do this because it's my assignment. It's my assignment. The Bible says it's gather souls. It's wonderful to bring souls into the kingdom. But we all can do it. You don't have to have a certain position in a ministry to do it. You're in the ministry when you take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is the head, not Apostle Callender, not Bishop James, not Apostle Millie, not Apostle Linda, none of us. We're not the head. Jesus is the head. And we are the bridegroom. Sounds strange coming from a male, but there's no gender in the spirit world. Jesus is the head. We are the body. Every part of the body, we are a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Except he's the head. He's the only one that's the head. Now, I'm inviting you because Jesus was sent by his Father. In his obedience, he came down to earth and took up all the sins of the earth on his shoulders. It was put on him. He was made sin because Jesus was perfect. He still is perfect. But he was made sin, come into the world through a woman and become flesh and blood, just as we are. And in the book of Romans, you know, your confession is made. Chapter 10. If you have a Bible, look it up. Chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And verse 8 says, listen carefully. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's near you. It's in your mouth. So if it's in your mouth, you got to speak it out. The enemy cannot read your thoughts. He can only inject thoughts and hope that you will listen to his thoughts and disregard Jesus. Slam him down to the pit of hell where he belongs. You're receiving Jesus today. And God gave us this, his only begotten son in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall ever believe in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. And the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving Jesus as a sacrifice to us, for us. And thank you, Jesus, for being a sacrifice in your obedience to the Father God Almighty. And the other great thing about it, if you make this confession today, right? Jesus told his apostles, you know, when they were disciples, to go out into all the world and bring souls in. Yeah, there's many souls. Break bread with your brothers and sisters in every house, every household, two by two. So go out, gather people for the kingdom. The more you gather, the more blessed you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you will be rewarded. Now, told the apostles that. He made them apostles. And apostles make disciples. And the disciples whom later might become apostles. Well, we don't know. But we know that what we do know is that we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And as I said in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it begins, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. So it's telling you that you have to speak it out. And you must repent, not going back. Remember what I said. Do not go back to the way you were living. Your life is totally changed once you say this. Verse 9. Father, I believe, and I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not reading this from the Bible. I'm paraphrasing. Father God, I believe that I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins and my iniquities, none of his own. He died and did it for me and you and everybody that's listening. And we must repent, as I said. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead on the third day. And the world, whoever received him, was saved from that point on. And anybody who confessed that Jesus is Lord and Savior shall not perish, but have life everlasting. It's the promise of God Almighty to be baptized. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verses 38 through 40, Peter said to them, and he was speaking of people that to be baptized, and he said, repent. First thing he said was, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, think about that. That's so wonderful. When Jesus left, he said, when he told the disciples, he told the disciples at that time, the apostles, but them, when I go back into my kingdom, I'm going to send the Comforter, he told them. I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, to dwell within you. You know? And he told them that he was going to go back to his Father and take his rightful place on his throne. But he's leaving the apostles to lead us through this life. And with his help and his blessings, we are now saved. All you have to do is tithe, go down into that liquid grave, as we call it. And it's an outward sign that you've given up the worldly things, drug use, prostitution, whatever you were doing, drugs, selling, alcoholism, smoking, and it's so wonderful. It's just wonderful. That's all I can describe. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Nothing we can use on earth can describe it, like what happens to you when you get baptized, when you go down into that water, and you come up, you die to sin, and you rise with Christ, eternal salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Now, if you read the scripture, it's just in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38 through 40. It says, depart, separate yourself from this perverse generation. Don't be a part of things you used to do. I still tell jokes, tell some low-down, dirty jokes. You know, they were so low-down, you had to dig a hole 6 foot deep just to be at the beginning of it. They were low-down things. And I said I wasn't going to tell those kind of jokes anymore. Apostle Calendar will verify it. I like the joke. I'll put something in that's a little hilarious. But I'm not going to tell those dirty jokes anymore. I'm going to speak, and I'm going to speak clearly. Like they used to say, well, I don't say that in mixed company. People was worried about if a lady, which it should be, if a lady or an elderly person, male or female, was aware, you know, it was there where you were. Don't say those dirty things. Respect the elderly. Respect the female. That's the way I was brought up. But Jesus, and I didn't know it, and I asked God to forgive me for every joke that I told that was dirty and nasty, filthy joke. I had some friends of mine offered me a ride to pay the fare for me to go on one of our American Legions, little thing they do once a year. They go out and just clothing outlet. It gives everybody a chance to buy things that they pay. It's the outlet, and you don't pay what they pay in the department stores because it's marked up about 80-90% of what they pay it. So maybe 100 or 110% of what they pay it. You get it straight from the factory. So you pay a lot less for it. Shoes and clothing items. Now, I refused to ride. You know, well, first of all, I didn't feel like going anyway. I had never gone before. But the reason, these three of them, my friends, said, look, you can entertain us. It takes a couple of hours to get there, and you can tell some jokes. I said, if they want to laugh, it's going to be clean, because I'm not going to see anything dirty. Oh, man. I said, oh, man, I'm telling you, I don't do that anymore. And they didn't believe me at first. And being in their company since then, you know, I mean, it's a few years. They see, I don't do it. I do not do it anymore. I'm not going to do it. Because, I mean, to me, that's like slapping God in the face. So I'm not going to do that. So at any rate, please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. There is no other way. Also in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. If you read that scripture, it says, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven among men. Is there any other name mentioned? Only Jesus Christ. But read it for yourself. I did not write the Bible. It was written by men inspired by God to write his word. So God bless each and every one of you. Take care of yourself and your families. And congratulations on accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And congratulations for those who had backslidden but have returned back home. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Don't leave the Lord again. I urge you. There's too many things going on in this world. Sicknesses. There's still another two or three diseases that they said is going to come forth. Because I do believe that they're manufacturing these things and putting it in the atmosphere. It may sound silly, but then how they know that they got two or three of them coming unless they're doing it themselves. That makes sense to me. But anyway, wear your mask despite what they say. Oh, you don't have to wear your mask. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Wear your mask. And if you get exposed to this outbreak, quarantine yourself for at least 2 weeks. Quarantine yourself, even in your own home. Stay away from your family as much as possible. Eat at a different, in your room or something. Now don't give it to your family. And as far as people sending their children to school, if I had a child in school, I would not send that child to school. You know, I pray for my daughter every day. She's a school teacher, and they demand that she goes to school every day. And these kids don't want to wear masks. They're children, you know, and when they expose themselves, you know, to each other, they contract it, they bring it to their families, and they bring it to the teachers. And the teachers can bring it to their families. You know, it's just a domino effect. Protect ourselves. Use your head for something other than a hat rack. God bless each and every one of you. I'm just praying, Lord, please let everybody in the sound of my voice receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior today and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. I don't know if Apostle coming on tomorrow, but I am going to. If she's not coming on, I will do a part two tomorrow.
She's at the appointment right now.
Yeah, she told me this morning. She sent me a message this morning. She was having an appointment and trying to figure some other things. But, yeah.
Right.
Get that message last night, you know, the message I did a couple of years ago or something. But that message really touched me today, I tell you, Apostle. I couldn't get out that chapter.
Chapter 22
of Matthew, the first 14 verses. I had a lot more. I wanted to go to Revelation chapter 19 and Revelation chapter 3, but he wouldn't let me get out that chapter. He just kept me right there because God is saying to us that, hey, we have to be dressed up from the inside. We have to be dressed up because that's where he's looking. He's looking at the inside, and we are busy trying to fix the outside because we're trying to impress our other fellow preachers. We want to impress our other fellow believers how well we are dressed in and that we are prospering because we are wearing these fine clothes and we're driving this nice stuff and all this, you know. So the thing is, we have to get the inside fixed. Yep.
We have to show it through our actions.
You should get the inside fixed. That's right.
Doesn't make you holy. You know, that's what people, I don't know, all my life I've seen preachers, you know, and they always dress up. Middle of the week, tie on, suit, whatever, you know. I told you, my uncle was a Baptist minister for 52 years, and they lived directly. You could throw a rock off their porch and hit the grocery store directly across the street from their house. And my auntie would not go out to the store right across the street with a regular dress any other lady would wear. She was a preacher's wife. She used to have a hat, gloves, a little veil in front of the hat. It was dressing like that at the time, and a nice suit to go and buy a loaf of bread, you know? Because she's the preacher's wife. It was a status. And what makes my auntie, and I love her so well, what makes her be better than any other lady at the church? She's the preacher's wife, the first lady. In our church, if we got a building, all the ladies are the first ladies. Yeah, all of them. And all the men are the shepherds, because we better help each other. We better watch each other and pray for each other. Jesus' name. I'm going to get off.
Thank you. You probably got this list, too, because Mother Grant sent this list to everybody. I'm sure you got it because I got it. It was a couple of days ago.
Okay. All right. It may be. Apostle didn't tell me about it. It may have come on her phone, too, because she has her number also.
This,
but I'll look for
this
it.
This is some mess, though. I tell you, she says the Catholic Church in Italy, $67.0 billion. The Catholic Church in some other country is $30 billion. In Australia, the Catholic Church is $20.9 billion. Not millions. The Catholic Church in another country is $25.0 billion. Catholic Church in England, $7.8 billion.
My God.
The Catholic Church in Italy, $2.8 billion. Now, is Scientology, the one here in America, $2.0 billion. Now,
so
the Redeemed Christian... Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The Christian Church, the redeemed Christian Church of Georgia, Winners Christ Embassy Synagogue, the Pentecostal Church at all. It says Bishop Odiapo is in Nigeria. He has $150 billion. Bishop T.D. Jakes, $147 million. Pastor Chris Adugume in Nigeria, he got $50 million. Pastor Benny Hinn, $42 million. Pastor Adubaye in Nigeria, $39 million. Pastor Creflo Dollar, $27 million. Listen to me. Pastor Kenneth Cortland, they don't know how much he got. They don't know how much he got. Kenneth Cortland is a mega a billionaire. Yeah. Evangelist Billy Graham, he left $25 million. T.B. Josser, $10 million. I'm looking at these preachers. These preachers here alone have enough money to feed the whole world. They have enough money right here that I'm looking at on this page here. Have enough money that there should be no starvation in the earth.
No, none.
There should be no starvation.
None.
There shouldn't be nobody sleeping underneath a bridge. My God.
Now, if somebody wants to sleep under the bridge, and Apostle Linda can tell you, her and our beloved Misha went out, and her cousin, they went out to New Orleans, talking to the people, teaching the people under the bridge on Canal Street. The main street in New Orleans, the two main thoroughfares that cross, Canal and Claiborne Avenue, the two longest streets, largest streets they have in New Orleans. And these people are sleeping under the bridge, under the I-10, you know, on Conner Creek. And the city even issued them out tents, and has big stamps on the property of the city of New Orleans. On either side of Claiborne Avenue at Canal Street, there's two hotels that were shut down after Katrina. One of them never opened again. And they have rooms in there. They must have at least 100, 150 rooms in one and over 200 in the other one, you know. And the people are... they're like in between these two hotels, sleeping on concrete, little children, elderly people. Why not give these people a place to stay? It gets cold in New Orleans. No, it don't get cold as where you live, but 32 degrees is 32 degrees no matter where you are. And that's that Fahrenheit freeze. And they'll land on the concrete on cardboard boxes. So they got a tent on them. We got a tent on them, over them, top of the other city. No. Take those people and tell those people, give them a place to reside. Feed them. You know, these people are hungry out there. Everybody's not able. Oh, hold on, Father. I think I know what's going on here. I may have to get off.
I heard it.
Yeah.
I see you, evangelist leader. Come on in.
Okay.
I see you. Come on in.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I'm listening to all of this good wisdom here. Amen. Listening to all this,
yes.
This good wisdom. Amen. Amen.
Hey, you missed
Amen.
A good sermon this morning, but you
yeah.
missed a good sermon this morning. But I sent it to your page. I guess you get it on your page because I see
yeah.
Your Queenicia on the page on the messenger, so I sent it to your page. But it was a strong message this morning. We talked
yeah.
about the message that the Lord gave me last night. Is make sure you're dressed for the occasion. No
All
excuses.
Right.
I
mm-hmm.
accept it.
Make mm-hmm.
sure you're dressed for the occasion. No excuses are accepted. We came out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 to 14, talking about the wedding reception or banquet that Jesus
mm-hmm.
had. He used that analogy that he had put on this banquet and invite all of the people, all these people to come, but everybody that he invited made light of the
mm-hmm.
Of the wedding banquet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we're seeing this is happening now, you know,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
he has made the banquet. The banquet is already prepared, but people
mm-hmm.
are making light of it. They don't want to hear they don't want to hear about the gospel anymore. They don't want to, mm-hmm. they don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They don't want to talk about God anymore. They're going
mm-hmm.
on a wild goose trail because they say, well,
yeah.
it feels good. You know, I'm having a good time over here. I'm having a good time going down
mm-hmm.
the road, but they don't know that they're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and then Jesus sent, they killed the messengers. And he talked
mm-hmm.
about that too in that of scripture, that how they're going to kill us. Some of us going to be murdered, going to lose our lives for the gospel's sake, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
People have become so wicked, and we see that. We've seen it that
mm-hmm.
there are some evangelists that goes around from Living Waters
mm-hmm.
Ministry, and this
mm-hmm.
man, he goes around with a dog. He got the little dog on his little motorcycle. He wrote a lot of books. He even translated a Bible, got a Bible in his
mm-hmm.
name, and but he goes every place he learned. He came from a very strange life. God brought him out, you know, and brought him
mm-hmm.
into ministry, and he really spent a lot of time in the Word. And he's
mm-hmm.
challenged every time, but he still go out all the time. People even
mm-hmm.
threaten his life, but while they're threatening him, he studies preaching the gospel, study preaching the
mm-hmm.
gospel. And they threaten,
yeah.
they come upon him in his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people with they got pierced in their nose, pierced in their ears. They got the 666
mm-hmm.
on their body and all that stuff, and they become in his
mm-hmm.
face. And challenges,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
mm-hmm.
you know, the Bible said that
mm-hmm.
we get into these times right now where they're gonna come to us. They're gonna even
mm-hmm.
come up in the building, you know,
yeah.
and they're gonna
mm-hmm.
take out the pastor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
we have to be really be dressed
mm-hmm.
up for the occasion. In other words, we have to really have all the full armor, and the armor's not
mm-hmm.
on the outside. A lot of people think the armor's outside. God is using this analogy.
Mm-hmm.
From the armor, we're going to put that in the message next time we come back. But the
okay.
armor is on the inside, but it shows
yeah.
up on the outside, see?
Yeah.
And a lot of people
yeah.
think that if they're dressed up in a nice priest robe or priest suit or
mm-hmm.
priest collar, cross in the pocket or whatever, they feel that
mm-hmm.
they got it. The apostle ring, the
yeah.
bishop ring, the pastor ring, the prophet ring,
yeah.
and they got all that stuff
mm-hmm.
on, they think that's it. No, it's more than that. It's
yes.
more than that. That is all well
yes,
for the man. That's all well for man. That's all
yes.
well for the congregation. But you got
yes.
to put on stuff. We got to put on stuff that really satisfy God. Satisfy
right.
the Savior. That's the wedding,
yes.
wedding garment. The wedding garment is
mm-hmm.
not on the outside. The wedding garment is on the inside. Because
mm-hmm.
that's
yes.
what he told Samuel. He said, Samuel, you're looking
mm-hmm.
out, you're looking on the outside. but I'm looking on the inside. See, Samuel, you're looking at the outer appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. See? And gosh, where we have to be dressed up. Our spiritual heart must be dressed up, must have on all this stuff. You got to have on, you have to have on the arm of love, the arm of patience, the arm of forgiveness, the arm of long-suffering. All this is armor. All this is armor that you got to have on. Because you have people say, well, I got the blessed spirit of righteousness. I got the heaven of salvation. I got the sword of the spirit. I got my feet shod with the gospel of peace. I got the belt of truth, you know. And they say they got all that stuff, but they don't have no love. They don't have no compassion. All that's armor. All that's armor. Because if you have the armor called the Ephesians 6, but you don't have no love or no compassion, you don't have no armor, you're gonna turn people away from Christ. You don't have no patience because people are not like us. They're not where we are, and we got to have some patience with them. You understand what I'm saying? They're not at the place we are. I remember when we first come to God, somebody had patience with us. Somebody prayed for us, and then when we come, we were still messed up. They were still praying for us, you know?
That's right.
So God said you got to be ready. So when he saw this man, the man didn't have, he came to the banquet. But the man wasn't dressed in the right apparel. God looked right through him, and when he looked at him, he could see that he wasn't dressed. He didn't have the spiritual garments on. And he told him to take the man away and throw him into outer darkness. And he said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because people are playing church. People are playing church.
Yeah.
And God wants us, he wants us to become the church. He has chosen us out of darkness into his light. Now we got to walk in the light so that others will see the light and come out of darkness. You can't see you in the light, but you're not walking in the light. You got to walk in the light. Why? Because while you walk in the light, somebody's going to see the light that's on your light, and they're going to get to be... led out of darkness into that light that you're in. You understand? When you walk in the light, people come, girl, there's something different about you. Boy, there's something different. Man, every time I look at you, look like something going on with you. What's happening? You look good. Man, you're glowing. Because the light's shining. You know? You respond to people is part of your garment. You know? You got people, man, I think a woman in the church was singing and dancing. Apostle, she was singing and dancing, and oh my Lord, and she was praising God and singing and crying and all that stuff, and ran up right in front of the church and cussed her keyboard player, cussed him out. I mean, cussed him out because she was a trustee. She was a trustee. She was the accountant and the trustee, and the man wanted to get paid some of his money, the pay them once a month, but he liked to go to the peep shows. See, he was in the church, but the church wasn't in him. He liked to go to the peep shows. So he paid money to go and look at women dancing half naked, look at your hole in the club. He had no money. And she told him, she cussed him up, tell him, man, you spend your so-and-so money too quick. You gotta make your money last. And she cussed him, cussing them words that I don't want to say. I know what she said, but I don't want to say it because I used to say them words before. But her light wasn't shining, you see. She just came out of the church building. Dancing and running down through the corridor crying. And just weeping. I tell you, the Holy Ghost is all over her. But after that, 5 minutes after that, the Holy Ghost was gone. She was somewhere else. That's why I said in the message that it's not what you spend you behind the podium. It's good preacher behind the podium and so on. But your ministry begins when you leave that podium. When you're behind that corner, you're preaching for them people that's in the sanctuary. Yeah, they're supposed to be in the household of faith. They know about Jesus. They hear Jesus. You talk. But when you get out there, get out from behind that podium, now you got to really become who you said you were. You got to become the servant of the living God so that somebody, when they see you, they see the gospel in motion. See, is in motion now. See, you're not preaching now. Your life is preaching. Your life is preaching. But that's when you get out. You get off from there, and then you're going to cut somebody out. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And then you start talking like the world now. That person goes, they say, well, I thought he was saved. I thought he was saved. I thought she was saved. But she acting worse than I act. He acting worse than I act. If that's what saving is, I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be saved. That's what saved people act like, you know. So God says, I look at you, you insider. You come to the banquet, but you're not
worthy
to be at the banquet. And when he said in the scripture, he said, they're not worthy to be at the banquet. They're not worthy.
Not worthy.
He says, so he said, bind him up and throw him into outer darkness.
Yeah.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen.
I was laying on the bed last night, and I was saying, Lord, I got to preach today. I just preached yesterday, but I got to preach today. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And I was rolling through some books, and the piece of paper dropped out the book. I had all these scriptures down on the paper, and the Lord says, this is what I want you to preach by. I preached about that book 2 years ago, maybe one or two years ago. And the Lord says, this is what I want you to preach about, because the time is getting real close. People have to really start living for the Lord.
That's
really
right.
Start living for him. You know?
That's right.
People are
That'd
still
be
trying
real.
To save up all of this and save up all of that, want more of this and more of that. But what I want, I'll tell you the truth, evangelist, I want more of God. I want more Christ.
More.
I want
That's
to have more wisdom, more knowledge, and more understanding. So that when I see his word begins to open before me. It becomes to come open like a door. When you open the door, the house is inside the house look dark, but soon you open the door, the light comes in, and you can see all through the living room. You can see the dining room. You can see the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, you see.
Yeah.
You can see everything because it's an open design. The door open, but if you lock the door closed, you can't see nothing there. That's what I want,
That's
God. I want God to open the scriptures to me more, that I see more, that I hear more, that I understand more, you know. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge, right? It's a challenge right now, Apostle Evangelist. It's a challenge because I'm fasting. We're fasting now, and I'm telling you, my honey's bringing home some stuff that, some edibles that look so good. You know, she's going to work today. She worked 2 days, just a couple hours a day, and she got there. And you know, I'm still standing strong. You know what I'm saying? I went in the kitchen just now, see the banana bread. She got the banana bread sliced up and some other things over there. I see all that stuff. And you know, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day, you know. But she got me a Valentine's card and she got me a candy. She know I like candy, chocolate, you know. And I just put it on the side. Now this evening when the sun goes down, I have that candy. But you know, you have to make a decision that you go what you're doing for the Lord, you're gonna do for the Lord. You're not gonna let temptation pull you off of what you're doing. If you say I'm gonna read the Bible once a day, I'm gonna read two scriptures once a day, and you say I'm gonna read every day at 3 o'clock in the evening, because God gonna meet you there. God gonna meet you at that place, that time, that in the bedroom, in the kitchen, the bathroom, wherever you tell God you're gonna read that two scriptures, he gonna meet you there. Because God wants to hear you studying them scriptures. If you tell God I'm going to fast for a certain time, God is there. He did the strength in you. But at the same time, the devil going to bring temptation. So you like bananas or you like apples? They're going to be there. You like candy? You like chocolate? You like Snickers? You like Milky Way? You like almond joy? You're going to bring all that. You like peanuts? My wife know I love cashew. She know I love cashew. Guess what she do? She bought me a brand new, a big can of cashew today. Yeah, it was there. She bought me yesterday, but she took them out this morning. She had them hiding. She brought them out in a candy bar, you know.
Oh.
And she put that recipe on the table. So I go to get my tea this morning, got my herb tea this morning, you know. And that herb tea will last me through the day, you know. I said, oh, thank you, son. Someone said, thank you, honey, but I ain't eating that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Because you got to make a decision that you're going to live for Christ. If you want more, you got to give more. You have to give more. If you want more, you got to give more. It's more than a sacrifice. It's obedience.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody said, I'm sacrificing. No, it's not sacrifice. It's being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Obedient.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about that yesterday. Saul lost his kingdom because of disobedience. He was a good warrior. Saul was a good warrior. But
he
lost his kingdom because of disobedience. Mm-hmm. And God, it grieved God's heart. He said, it grieved him that he put Saul in that position. It grieved him. You know, and he chose David, Jesse's son, to take over from Saul. And then he had to rebuke Samuel. He said, Samuel, why he loves Samuel? But he said, Samuel, why are you grieving over Saul? Why are you still mourning for Saul, seeing that I reject him? I reject him. Because, obedience is so important to God. It's very important to God. If you tell God, you say, God, I'm going to sow a seed. I'm going to help the poor. And you don't do it, guess what? You thank God's hands from blessing you. Because God is counting us to bless the poor. Mm-hmm. If I say I'm going to do something for the poor, I say, oh, I got to do this. I tell my honey, I don't care. If I got to put it on a credit card, I'm putting it on a credit card because this is what I say I'm going to do, honey. And guess what? Boom, we get the blessing come. It comes just like that. So, we thank God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I know on Wednesdays I usually go to the assisted living facility, and they closed down for several, I guess about a month they had closed down because of the COVID-19 struck them in there. And so they called us and told, you know, the ones that come with me that they shut it down. So now they opened it back up again, so now I'm have to, you know, put everything else aside and go on back and be with the people, encourage them again, you know, sing songs,
That's right.
The word of God, and smile with them, have them to tell their story. You know, they like for you to listen to them, you know. So
that's right.
I'm looking forward to doing that again, because that was a blessing to them and also to myself. It was a blessing.
That's right. It's a two-way blessing.
Amen. And the other day,
I used to like to go to the drug rehab house when I was in Virginia.
Yeah.
We had a drug rehab ministry. We go to that every Sunday morning. I go in there and I would minister the gospel. And the people look forward to seeing me come, but they didn't know how much it was filling me up, because I was growing, you know. I was young in ministry, and that was my first ministry teaching. I was charged to go to the drug rehab people that was coming off of crack cocaine and heroin and stuff, and that was my ministry. I went there and I could relate to them because I came off of crack cocaine, and I'd go in there and I would minister to them and tell them about Jesus, and so many people got saved. So many people gave their life, came out and went into ministry, you know, and started walking for the Lord. But it was blessing me. It would bless me more than them, because it's making me strong. The more you teach the gospel, the stronger it makes you. You're able to stand away from whatever was your vice. You keep it from it, because it's the light of the world. You know, the gospel is the light of the world. So you keep putting that. Yeah, man, that's the best thing. You go in that place. Them old people love seeing you, but you would get a love from doing it that you can't wait till the next day come.
That's right.
Good thing.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know the other day at this church I used to go to many, many years ago when I first came to California. But anyway, this lady, her children had her funeral. And and while she was living, her grandchildren just took over the house. You know, the city deemed it as a nuisance. So when they deem it as a nuisance, you got to move. So she had to move all the way from the Bay Area to another town. But anyway, after the services was over, they was getting ready to, you know, put her body in the ambulance, and her grandchildren confronted the pastor and another pastor with weapons, and they didn't like what he was saying, what the pastor was saying up there, you know, when he was funeralizing their grandmother. He didn't like what he was saying, so they confronted him when they got out in the vestibule, and to the point that somebody sent word for the pastor for them not to go to the graveyard. So they didn't go to the graveyard to bury the lady.
And then they rivaled
the ones that was against the grandsons, they showed up, the rivalry, you know.
Yeah.
They're rivals,
They will have a shootout. Mm-hmm. I tell you, boy, the devil is so mess, man.
He bold. Yeah. Coming to church doing that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the devil. The devil don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why you got to be really girded up. You got to be girded up. You ain't playing no church.
Don't play in church.
If you're not real, the devil would test you. The devil would test you. If you play in church, the devil would test you. He would test you.
Yeah.
You got to be real. You got to be real.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be true. You got to be the truth.
That's right.
Yep.
You ain't got your mind on what's going on in the service. You got your mind on playing with your phone and checking this and checking that.
Yeah.
Here and there. Let me come in like a flood. So just thank God. Thank God for all what he's doing in spite of it all. And just got to continue to pray for the Ukraine nation.
Saying
today that it's going to be a war. But you got to want it to be a war.
Oh yes, it's gonna happen. It's no if or buts about it. It's gonna happen. There's some darkness in the Ukraine that is being exposed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the light is gonna shine forth, you know.
Amen.
A lot of stuff.
Amen.
A lot of people in our country and this nation is gonna be arrested. And you're gonna hear of some big men people that are gonna be arrested shortly. They're starting to get arrested too. A lot of people are getting arrested. That was in the sex trafficking and human trafficking that was part of the government itself. Man, they're getting arrested already. I read about them on the news on the YouTube.
You got the fake news.
They don't tell you everything. But you go to YouTube. Go on YouTube. And you will see so many people that are being arrested in this country that was involved in sex trafficking and human trafficking and kidnapping and stuff. Yeah.
They need to let that black man go. What's his name? That rapper, whatever his name. They need to let him go because they're no better than him. What's his name?
This stuff is wild, man. There's a lot of stuff that going on right now because Satan is raging. The church got to get up. You still got some good church, you know. I mean, we preach a lot of stuff on online and this ministry, but the church in general has to wake up and begin to preach the truth, the uncompromising truth. You can't play with it.
That's right.
It's time over for the church. It got to be the church. Expose the devil. You know, the devil ought not be able to come into church and sit down and eat pancake and drink coffee. You know what I'm saying? He ought not be able to come in the house, scramble eggs and bacon and grits in the church. You know, he ought to be ready.
Right.
He come in there, he can't stand. He got to go because the fire is coming from the altar. You're not playing with it.
He's preaching against sin.
Not preaching against the people. He talking about homosexuality. He talking about lesbians all the time. He talking about gangbang. He talking about dope pushing. Why? We talking against sin. We're not talking about the people. Because that's the thing that's going to take all of us to hell if we don't get right. If we keep dipping and diving, we're going to go to hell. Any of us.
Mm-hmm.
If we dip and dive in sin, we're going to go to hell. You're not going to go to heaven if you're dipping and dabbing in sin. God just love you. God just love you. He love you. He love you. God love you. That's all right. You're doing all right. No, God love you, but you will still go to hell with God loving you. God love you. And you will still go to hell with God loving you. That's not going to stop God from loving you. He'll love you while you're going to hell. He said all souls are his, but the soul that sinneth will die. That's what God said.
Yeah.
He ain't talking about the body. He's talking about the soul. The soul that sinneth shall die. He didn't say maybe. He said it will die.
Mm-hmm.
So God still love that soul. But because he's God, he can't bring that soul. He can't bring that soul into holiness because he already said it. Without holiness, no man will see God.
That's
you see? So he can't bring that sword, that sinful sword, into the holy place. It got to go into the lake of fire and brimstone.
That's right.
So we have to judge that, because some folk think that because they go to church and they're singing the choir, or they're playing the choir band, they're one of the choir musicians, that's all right. Mm-hmm. And they're still sipping and dipping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a man in the church. He was married, and he's playing the bass guitar. He can play mean guitar. I mean, he made the guitar talk.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that a woman. He was married to a woman in the church that was singing in the choir.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? He died.
My God.
That's that. Mm. And he wasn't an old man. He wasn't an old man. Mm. He was a young man. He died. All of a sudden, say he had cancer, and cancer just boom, 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 boom. He was in the hospital. The next day, boom, he died. Because you can't play with God. You cannot play with God.
No,
death, don't make no reservation. Play. Death just come on true. Death don't say, well, I'm making a reservation for next week. Death don't do that. Death comes straight true.
Yeah,
don't say, well,
I'm coming.
You know? Death don't say, I'm coming in December. It's coming.
Yeah.
It comes. It just comes. No reservation. That's why we got to live holy.
Exactly.
You can't have nasty, slimy talk and think you're going to heaven. And seeing you saved. But you got dirty, slimy talk. No. All the sliminess got to go away. You got to put that in a grave. Bury the slimy talk.
Yeah. Glory to God.
I want to go to heaven, I tell you.
They don't look at sin.
People don't, the way the devil has this thing set up right now, because this is his time. God has given him this allotment, this time. And the way the devil is doing this thing, that he got a lot of preachers, not all the preachers, thank God that we got preachers on Blog Talk Radio that preach the truth. They preach the truth, the uncompromising, infallible truth of God's word they preach. But you got a lot of preachers that will not preach the truth, that will not touch that sin. They will not talk against sin. They go all around sin. They dance around sin. Because they don't want to offend nobody. I'm not care if I offend you. If I offend somebody, they don't come back to Blood Talk Radio, so be it. I'm still going to get up. The Lord give me life. I get up. I'm going to turn on the computers.
That's
I'm going to turn on my cell phone. And I'm going to get a word.
This is
church in the ear. It's going through the atmosphere. Somebody going to want to hear the word. A woman just sent me a message from Facebook. She's in Africa. She says, Apostle, invite me as a friend. I want to be able to go on your page and listen to the service. You know what I'm saying? So somebody may not want it here, but there's somebody somewhere that want it.
Somebody
don't want to hear the truth, but somebody somewhere, God has somebody that's hungry and thirsty for truth, for righteousness.
That's why we do it.
Some days I'm so tired some days, and I don't want to get up. The Holy Spirit wakes me up, and once I turn on that computer, and I start to teach and preach, I get energy. I'm no tired.
Amen.
I'm not tired anymore.
Amen.
You know, we had a big storm last night, pretty big storm last night. The streets were covered in snow. And my truck was, I look on the monitor because I got cameras outside. We only got one car garage. My car's in the garage. Well, my car's in the garage, but my car's next to the house. And I got cameras on the house so I can see my truck. Right where I'm sitting on, I can see my truck on the monitor. And there was so much snow there. And last week I was having some pain in my chest. But I got up, I prayed this morning, I said, Lord, I got to go push all that snow down. I don't ask my wife to do that. I'm going to do that. And I tell you, I ain't had no kind of pain with all that snow. All that snow, the truck is clean now. Clean now. And I had no pain. No pain.
Yeah.
God took care of that. Because I'm working for him.
Yeah.
And he rewards me. That's why I talk about richness. People think, hey, you have a lot of money, that's it, man. When you get the word of God in your heart, when you get that in your heart, and you begin to live the word of God, man, you are rich. You are rich.
Amen.
You are absolutely rich. When you have that word and you get that word, the more time, every time you put the word in your heart, you're depositing spiritual deposits. You're making spiritual deposits. That's why when you start to go through some problems or stuff, you can ask the Lord to just thank you. Because I know this problem is not my problem, Lord. So I give
thank
it to you,
Lord.
Father, I take I take your joy. I take your peace.
Yes, Lord.
But I give you my problem right now, Lord. I can't carry this. You told me to cast all my cares upon you, for you care for me. So, Lord, I'm giving. I know you're going to make this crooked place straight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I know you're
going to
make this rough place plain right now, Lord. So, God, I thank you. And when you start to talk to him, all of a sudden the problem gone. All of a sudden the problem gone. You have just given it to God.
Yes, Lord.
Because the word tells you to give it to him. See, that's why we put these scriptures in. The word tells you, give it, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So you give it to him. And then he takes it over. But what a lot of folk does is that they give the situation to God, and then they go take it back up. They try to fix it. I know money to Lord, I just thank you. I'll be laying down to Lord, I don't have no funds right now, but Lord, I want to bless this person in India, Africa, in America. I want to bless this person in the Caribbean. I said, Lord, I know you're going to make a way that somebody's going to sow a seed, not for me, but for your kingdom. Lord, for this is for you, for your people. They need something to eat. They need some clothes. They need some to get school books, Lord. So you're going to make a way, Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Somebody will send me some money. I had Liz call me a couple of days ago. She said, Apostle, I put $200 on a Cash App. She sent me a text message. I was praying. I want to help somebody. I didn't have the money. I did have some. We had just sent them over $1,000. I had no money because, you know, when I get the money coming from the people, I don't take the money. My wife said, I don't take the money. I put the money right out to help them people that is less fortunate than us. Those people that are hungry. Those people that don't have no food. I sent it to them. We bought some bicycles for kids. And last Christmas, we bought Blog Talk Family, Apostle Stewart, Minister on there, Apostle Washington, Apostle Millie, Bishop James. They send the money. Myself and Nancy, they send the money. We put the money together. And it and then the lady sent a picture with the little boy and girl riding the bicycles. I said, Apostle, I said, I want you to see what this is what we do. Then we had a picture with the little girls and the little boys wearing this nice, pretty blue and khaki color uniform, going to school. Their parents could send them to school. Blog Talk Family sent them to school. Blog Talk Family.
Nice. Amen.
We put the food on the table. We put the food on the table. And that's what God blesses us. He blesses us.
Yes, Lord.
He blesses us.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Mother Grant, I see you there.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank
praise
you.
The Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. I drive and I just want to say good morning and God blessings to everybody on the line. Blessings to everyone.
Good morning.
Blessing going to the food bank, yeah. That's where I'm going today, Monday. My busy day, I get her to go to the food bank.
Yeah.
That is good.
Lord, and it's my car, say my thing light is on. I don't like that check engine light.
Yeah.
I'm all
right.
The way.
That could be something. Then again, it could not be anything. Depends, you know. Sometimes, if it depends on how low the gas is, the light that will come on too. And the angel light could come on.
I followed up yesterday. It's full of gas.
When you get where you're going. Try this one, okay? Sometimes this does it, but if it's open the gas tank, okay? Wait about 3 minutes and then put the cap back on. Because a lot of times that'd be the problem. Just open the gas tank, because I did that a couple of times with my wife. But then another time it happened, it wasn't the gas tank, it was the oxygen sensor, so she had to replace the oxygen sensor. But a lot of times when you open a gas tank and wait a couple of minutes and then put it back, that light will go off. If the light don't go off, it's probably probably the sensor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not very expensive.
Put some in there. Grand Auto got something that you buy that your gas is lacking. They know. They'll put you on that thing and tell you.
I got that computer here too. I bought that computer from Amazon a few years ago, and I got that little the little gadget I plug in my car. It's just like a lap, just like an iPad. It's just like an iPad.
Yeah,
so I can tell you anything that's going on with my car or my wife's car. Or anybody's car.
It's
for
the same solution they're gonna tell you to battle. It's the same solution that your gas needs. Because that man do that at times.
When her sensor was gone, the first time the light came on, I took her on to the tank and let it sit for a while. And I put back the tank and went on. Second time it came on, I disconnected the battery. I disconnected the battery and let it wait 5 minutes, and then I connect the battery back, and the computer reset itself. So when I took the battery, the light was going off. The computer reset itself.
Okay.
But the third time, this is like in months though, you know. Not in weeks. Mm-hmm. The third time it happened, it was the oxygen sensor. So we had to put a sensor onto it. And her car is one of those Fiat car, a little small car. And they're very, very tight to get to. Very tight.
That's right, very tight to put it on it. Yeah.
So the man put it on for her. Because I do all the stuff to my truck myself. Like her car.
She might need an oil change, Santa Pastor. She might need an oil change.
Huh?
She might need an oil change.
No. Oil change don't do that. Oil change will bring on the oil light. But when the engine light come on, that's going to deal with some type of oxygen. So either from the gas tank or the sensor. Oxygen sensor, it looks like a plug. It screws into the engine. It comes off. It comes off to the catalytic converter. So you've got two oxygen sensors. Got one down there, and got one inside the engine. And sometimes it's only one of them that go bad most of the time. The sensor.
Okay. Yeah. You come on and off, Apostle.
Huh?
Apostle, what's be going on when it's on some family and it's off? What's going on when it's on sometime and it's off another time?
Well, that could be several things. You may have a loose connection somewhere. You know, sometimes it could be in the wiring. It could be in the wiring that the wear, you got a wear with the wear has a romance connector and it's not connected properly. You know, sometimes it's got to come in and go off. Or sometimes you can have a faulty sensor. The sensor's going bad. It's not totally bad. Sometimes it works fine. Sometimes it don't work fine. You know, where I had took my truck in last year. And my truck is 2014. And when I took it in, the Cadillac dealer told me, he said, well, you're going to have to put on all this and do all this stuff. It was like almost $3,800. Well, I changed one thing. I should have changed one thing, but it was good because it was getting old anyway. So I bought two shocks. They told me it was the shocks, so I know they weren't charging a lot of money for the shocks. So I got the shocks for like $200-some, and they were going to charge me a whole bunch of money for the shocks. And I put the two shocks on, ear shocks. And then the computer was still showing in the truck that I had a suspension problem. So, and that bothered me, you know. It would go on, and then it would go off. It would stay off for like 30 minutes, an hour, and then it would come back on. So I said, you know what, I'm going to buy this computer from Amazon. So I bought the computer. I think it cost me $299. I bought the computer, and I hooked it up to the truck and told me exactly what the problem was. And I ordered from Walmart or Amazon, because they said I can get the parts on. And I ordered a compressor. And that's what the compressor pushes the air into the shocks, and the shocks lift this truck up, because air shocks, electronic magnetic suspension. And I put all that stuff on in about 2 hours. Put it all on in 2 hours. Wire up and everything. And the light went off. I had no more problems since that. I put the front brakes on. I put front caliper, front rotors, and front brakes. And back calipers, back rotors, and back brakes. Put it all on myself. Did it all.
Yeah.
Saved myself thousands of dollars.
He up in New York. He do all them stuff, too. I'd be glad when he come down. Everything. You name it.
Yeah, I'm going to go on. There's been the weather change. I bought 6 cans of stuff, you know, because we got a lot of salt and stuff. So I would take my hose on each day after I take the car wash. And I'm going to go on the truck. I got one of those things called a creeper that you lay down on. It got 4 wheels. And you can roll on the truck and jack it up. I go on and get my hose and wash it out. And when it dry out, I got some stuff. I got the spray I got from Amazon to stop it from rusting out, you know? I go on easy and work on it.
Yes, Jesus.
Well, if nobody have anything to say, Evangelist, you can go ahead and pray us out. We'll talk to you all later. Tomorrow, if Apostle's not bringing the word, I'll bring part 2 to this message tomorrow. And this is a powerful message we did today.
Amen. We heard from Mother Grant.
Mother Grant she's going to the pantry.
She's going to the pantry.
To pick up food for the people that she could put on the streets.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts, God. Lord, we thank you for this time, God. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, as well as it is, God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the beautiful weather, God. Thank you, Lord. Far and near, God. It's still beautiful because you set it in place,
yes,
God.
Lord.
And we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for taking care
thank
of
you,
our
Lord.
Family members, God. We want to thank you for taking
yes,
care
Lord.
Of us, God. We want to thank you for taking care of this whole world, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for letting your will be done in what's going on, God. Whether it be the virus,
yes,
God,
Jesus.
Whether it be them talking, going back to the talking table, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for all your many blessings now, Lord. All your many blessings to come, dear Master.
Yes,
Father God,
Lord,
we
yes.
thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
We thank
mm.
you. We thank you. We thank
yes,
you, Lord.
Lord.
We thank you. Thank you for all your
yes,
many
sir.
Blessings, God. We thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Sound message,
thank you, Lord.
Lord. We thank you, Lord. Health and strength, God. We thank you, God, for your protection, God. We thank you for your
Jesus.
Word, God. Thank you, Lord. Your word is encouraging
thank
to us,
you,
God.
Lord.
Your word, God. Your word teaches us and guides us, leads us, God. Your word tells
yes,
us, hallelujah,
yes,
God,
Lord.
To come, hallelujah, to get near to you, God, and get more of you, God.
Jesus.
And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, God.
Thank you,
your
Lord.
Your word, God. Your word lifts us today, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for being on the
thank
highways
you, Lord,
and byways and freeways and streets, God, in our neighborhood.
Yes, Lord.
We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord. We thank you. We can't make it without
you,
God.
Thank
you,
Lord.
We thank you. We thank you for letting us realize that, God,
it,
and acknowledge that, God. We thank you today, God. We thank you.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Lord.
You, and we give you glory, God. We give
thank
you,
you
honor.
Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name. Bless everyone on the line tonight. this evening, God. Thank you, Lord. Right now, God, we ask you to bless them and keep them, God. Bless them going in and coming out, dear Master. Oh, God, that you may get all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name.
Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much,
everybody.
We thank God for you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We thank God for you. We ask God to bless you. Bless your ministry as you go into the common lesson home to teach and listen to those old people, the elderly people, and share with them the love of God for them. I just pray that God bless your ministry and God add more people to the ministry as you go out and share the word of God. And God protect you when you're going out, and he protect you when you're returning back. God shield you when you're traveling, going to and fro, that no hurt, harm or danger will befall you or any of the other people that are working with you in the kingdom. In Jesus' holy name, we pray, amen. God bless you all. I love you guys so much. But remember, God loves you more. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Love you, too.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.